God is good, isn't he? Praise be to God. Well, are you ready for the Word tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles. Let's get started. Acts chapter 14. Y'all love me tonight? I want you to be convinced before I begin tonight that you love me. Because if I do something that you don't like, you've already committed in advance, right? You'll forgive me and you'll still love me. Acts chapter 14, let's go to verse number 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The same heard Peter speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Now, they thought Paul was a god because he walked in the healing power of God. God wants you to walk in that power as well. And we're going to point him to Jesus, right? But it says, if we back up to verse number 9, it says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. Paul looked at this man and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Tonight, I'm going to teach on the look of faith, or that faith has a look. But before we go very far in this, I'm going to ask for some volunteers to give you some visible examples. How many of you remember visible examples? So I brought the chalkboard out here for a couple of volunteers to begin with. How many people here love math? Raise your hand. How many hate math? All right, Alma, you get to be first. Mike, come up here. Alma, come up here. This may not work because Alma knows my squirt bottle doesn't work. There's my penalizer bottle. Now, you two stand right over here. Stand right over here first. And look at the crowd. Y'all study them now because we're going to teach out of this. I'm going to put up an algebra problem, very routine algebra problem. And whoever doesn't get it right, I'm squirting with the penalizer bottle. And you may burn in hell forever as well. Just that could be a side trip. Now, I'm going to put this, let's just try this. We'll start with that. Very simple algebra problem. If you've had algebra and you remember any of it, you can do that problem. Come here, Alma. Let's have you do this problem. Here you go. Do this problem. Now, turn and look at the people before you start. Now, do your problem. All right, let me have your marker again. I've already made the point. Mike, come here and do the problem. Man, you missed it too. 2x equals 16, x equals 6. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did it right. You did.
So you did it wrong. Yes, word it.
All right, that was our first example. I'm hoping you noticed a difference in her face when I said I have a challenge for you. Julie, come up here. Who else can I pick on? BJ, come here. BJ. Billie Jean. Here's our next test. I need to get this fixed for this one because I really need to squirt. All right, this next test is going to be an athletics type test. And whoever can kick over their head wins, the other one gets squirted. Now, wait. Look at the crowd. Stand right here. Just stand right here. You think you can kick over your head? You hope so. You think you could really kick over your head, get your foot up over your head? How about you? All right, you don't have to try. Go ahead, Julie. Kick over your head. She did it. Pastor Chad, he's in the youth, isn't he? Robert, come on up here. You're done. Thank you. I'm hoping this is going to help you. Robert, and who can I get? Oh, my. This is. Yeah. Peggy, come up here. I'm not going to pick on my wife. I got to go home with her. I have a sports question. Let's pick a team at random, say the Detroit Lions. And whoever gets it wrong gets squirted. That's all she wrote. The question is, how many Super Bowls have the Detroit Lions won? You can sit down. He got it right. Now here's my point in all of this. Faith has a look. And I called each person up, each pair. One was an expert in an area. One really didn't know. Although it was very good trying algebra. I was highly impressed. I thought you were going to get it for a minute. And you just forgot to distribute all the way through the parentheses. In each case, someone was very good at something. The other one had very little skill in it, if any. And if you look at the expression of each, when I said to Robert, the subject of the Detroit Lions, he's sitting there like this. How many Super Bowls they won? He's like it. Peggy's over like, she looks like a deer in the headlights, like, I disagree with him. Alma, I thought, did very good when I said algebra. But at the same time, Mike, he's sitting there like this. It's algebra. What's the big deal? Alma's going to like, hang it up. And when I said kick over your head, BJ said, I ain't even trying on that one. But Julie, sitting there like, who can't do that? Amen. The difference between the two was those that knew they could do it had a look of confidence. And faith has its own look. When you know the Word of God works, when you know that God's made you a promise and that promise has got down inside of you, when an opportunity to exercise your faith comes up, you don't have a meltdown moment. You don't freak out. There's a confidence that rises up within you. Now, you may not like the situation you're in, but when you really lock in on faith, you can tell someone in faith. I can tell it. For one thing, you'll tell it in their conversation. The other, you'll tell it in their expression. I have been blessed to know and come in contact personally with many people that are living by faith. Amen? And when you find someone that's really are developing their faith and they're exercising their faith, when they are talking about a promise of God or they're exercising a promise of God, there is a not just a confidence, but a piercing look they'll have in their countenance. This is, I know I've got this. When they talk about sports or athletic events, we know about Kentucky basketball around here, right? At least most of you probably do. And they talk about, they always want players that want the ball in the game-changing moments. You know, when the score's tied and there's 10 seconds left on the clock, there's always that player, I want the ball. Why? Because there's a confidence they exude that says, I know I'm going to win the game. You don't want the player grabbing the ball that has the deer in the headlights look. They may have the same skill, but they don't have the same confidence. And confidence is a, confidence in the natural is a reflection of how much you know you have a victory in hand. And faith has a similar game ball look. When I do prayer lines and I minister to people, and I'll say, by His stripes you're healed, and they'll go, yeah, I know the Word says that. But they'll look like, oh, I hope, they'll either look like panicked or hopeless. But when you lock in with the one that has faith, I'd ask some of you for the example, but you may not want to, you may not give the expression I want. When there's a faith on a person, when somebody's locked in on faith and they come up for prayer, which is the thing to do, when you say, I'm going to pray for them, they're going like, that's right. And their eyes will kind of slit down, you know. They'll get this gaze of glory to God, and there'll be a warrior look upon them, and they're like, let's get it on. There will be a look on their face that says, I got this. You just pray for me. I know it's going to work. Versus some that you come up, that come up for prayer and they're going like, I just hope it works. And you pray, and then they're the most shocked of everybody in the place that they really got healed. But faith looks like it can see into a whole other realm. Because it can. When somebody gets over into faith, the look in their eyes many times are like, I'm not even seeing them in the natural right now. I'm seeing in a realm beyond the natural. Not that they really are, but that look is there like I'm looking in the Word of God. I'm looking to the provision of God and the kingdom of God. I may not see it with my natural eyes, but my mind right now sees into the heavenlies, and I know I have this promise. And we want that look. You want to be the one that develops a look that when Coach Jesus says, I've got to have somebody to give the ball to, you've got the look that says, I'm in faith for this. Versus, I'm just hoping and praying it works. Now, I said, you know, Sunday nights, we're going to talk about some deep things. And this is not surface Christianity we're talking about tonight. This is talking about going into the things of the kingdom, the things of the Spirit. And you got to be able to recognize whether you carry that look or not. See, if I came to most of you right now, I'm going to use an example. Nobody get offended by the example. I'm making up the example. Are you following me? But if I came to Carol and I said, Carol, you're not even saved. What makes you even think you're going to heaven? What? Amen? What makes you think you can get hold? If you were seeing her face right now, she's like, are you kidding me? She's going to like, it's the biggest joke I ever heard. Why? Because she's heard the promise that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. She knows it. It's down inside of her, and there's faith in it. She knows no matter what, nobody can take her out of the love of God. She's going to heaven. So there's a confident look. But if I came to a lot of Christians that don't know the promise like she does, I said, you're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. And maybe they gave their life to Jesus. But it's not down embedded in where they know that they know. And they'd be going like, really? It'd be almost like panic. Like, what must I do? When in fact, they are saved. It's just not locked in like to the level we can go into. It kind of came out funny, but they're not fully locked in on it. And when you get a hold of the promise of salvation, when somebody says you're not saved, there's like a grin comes on your face. There's like your eyes again. They start to, you know, look where you're like and says, are you kidding me? According to the Word of God, Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I've called upon that name, and I know my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven. Amen. There's a confidence. But Christians that maybe have heard about healing but never worked the word of faith into their life regarding healing, when sickness comes, all of a sudden it's like panic hits their eyes. It's like a pain. Oh, pain. Oh, 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 by stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. And they really are demonstrating by their countenance, by the fear look in their eyes, by the panic reaction, they really don't believe it fully. Now listen, it hits you, start confessing the word. But I'm telling you, once you've exercised your faith in a promise for a while, there's a confidence comes up that you know it's done. See, I know that no matter what algebra problem I put on the board, if it was, you know, not going into some deep, deep stuff, Mike's going to sit there and say, I got this. I know it. And I know whatever symptom hits my body, I won't be declaring I got this. Why? Because I've seen God's faithfulness to the promise of the place. There's a faith connection that's made where you're not afraid of these things anymore. If you don't fully have it, then you're always checking yourself for whichever pain is hitting. Is this going to work this time? Oh no, is it cold and flu season? Did I take my flu shot? You know, did I get my Tamiflu or whatever? I got 47 pills just in case it doesn't work, you know. And and then they get around somebody sick. They're like, how are you doing? Breathing through their handkerchief or whatever, you know. Because even though the word promised they're healed, their actions and expression demonstrate they really don't believe it's fully working in their life. Now, that would never apply to anybody in here. Faith has a look. When finances are attacked and the word of God says you sow a seed, it'll come back. You can tell if somebody's really in faith for money to come by the look that gets on their face when the bills come. Amen. Is it like, oh, I've never had a bill this big before. The electric bill, the gas bill's never been this big. Oh no, God can't meet this need. And you can tell the look is not there for God to meet all their needs. But the one that's experienced God's faithfulness to pay the bills, to bring in the increase, they see it and they go, just another one. Amen. Get thee behind me, Bill. If there's anybody here named Bill tonight, I wasn't talking to you. And there's a look of confidence that it doesn't shake you like it used to shake you. Do you follow me? And you walk in faith very long. You recognize the look of faith. I can travel anywhere, I believe, and meet with other Christians and in a very short time talk with them about situations and circumstances, and I will know whether they're in faith or not just by their countenance or their expression. You know, I've talked about this many times, but there are certain men of God that carry a look anyway. Kenneth Copeland, he's got a look where I believe he can see 1,000 miles. A piercing gaze. Have you ever seen him in person? He'll be walking through around the people, and he'll be looking out, and you can see he's not seeing in the natural realm. He's seeing in another realm. And you know, the faith is in operation for God to move. Benny Hinn, when he moves out in healing power, there's a confidence on him. Well, he can see what God's doing. Apostle Callahan, when he goes to move in healing power, he goes to pray, he's not sitting there with a panic look, oh, I think I have a word of God, I hope it works. He's sitting there like, this is going to work. I've done healing conferences with him. And when he gets up, he says at the beginning of the conference, he says, and tonight, God's going to heal and do miracles in this place. And he knows it's true. It's not like, and we hope God's going to do something. Pastor Philip, you talk about a confidence and a look. He looks like he's ready to just kill devils everywhere he goes. He's looking for some devil to step out of line. I'll take his head off. Are you following me? Faith has a look. And it's not a look you can fake. Too many Christians try to fake confidence. It's a look that only is developed by bringing the Word of God into you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And it only comes by exercising that faith and developing confidence in the Word of God, always producing. If Julie had never kicked over her head before, and I said, kick over your head, she might have not shown the same confidence. But I understand she's probably kicked over her head before. Amen. In fact, we're going to do a test at the end of the service. I'm going to squirt everybody that can't kick over their heads. And Kathy, her look was, I got this one. Some of you were like, I'm not looking at him right now. But just saying that publicly, you can see people that process in a way like confidence versus I don't think so. It's that nervous laugh. Yeah, right. I believe when we walk in faith, that look becomes a magnet to those around you that will draw them to the Word of God, that will draw them to the kingdom of God. I believe that look is what people see on you when they say, there's something different about you. How many of you ever had somebody come up to you and say, there's something different about you? Probably many times. What are they seeing that's different about you? A confidence in circumstances that everybody else are being pressured by, they're panicking in, and you're going, I got this. Just give me the circumstance, I got this thing. You know, John Paul tells a story about when he started work for Xerox, and they said they are having a major layoff. You've only been here a few weeks, but guess what? You have no job anymore. He says, I don't not only just have a job, I'm taking your job. Told his boss that. I'll have your job. In faith. And when a problem arose in the company, within a very short time before they could exercise the layoff, first he went and bought a new car, new Cadillac, in faith that he wasn't going to be laid off. And then they have a problem that's shutting down the company. He goes to his bosses and says, if you give me the resources, I can fix this. And I believe it was a nationwide shutdown. They said, go for it. And in 45 minutes, he had the problem fixed. And guess what? He got his boss's job. Everybody else gets laid off. He gets to keep his job. That is a confidence being exercised because the Word of God is in you and you've experienced God's faithfulness in the past. Faith has a look. So when people look at you and they're talking about, well, you never know when your time's up. Amy, well, it's cold and flu season, and you're looking out like they're not for me. There's a look attached to it. There's a look connected to you saying those kind of statements. And when you say that, they look at you. Because they want to see, is there joking in their eyes? Or are they serious? And then when they see your eyes, again, narrowed down, you're going, not for me. And it's almost like a rebellion against the statement. It's almost like the enemy's trying to challenge you and saying, bring it on, devil. I refuse sickness. And they go, there is something different about them. You want to stand out? You want to be the person that people are drawn to? Get the look of faith. Get the Word in you so that they see this person has a confidence I don't see in anybody else. Again, I believe many times in ball games, football games, basketball games, when it comes down to the wire, the coach will look at his team and say, he's looking for the look. I remember a ball game a few years back. In fact, Pastor Philip said God had him watch the end of this ball game. I believe it was against Arizona State. Is it the Arizona State Sun Devils or the Arizona Sun Devils? Arizona State. And Ohio State were playing a football game. And they're at the end of the game, and Ohio State's ahead and Arizona State comes down there and makes a miracle play and takes the lead. The Sun Devils. And this has been probably 15 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago. And there's only like less than a minute left on the clock. It looks like it's finished. It's over. And the Ohio State coach calls us his quarterback over. Gets in his face and he's talking about what he's going to do to win this game. They need a touchdown to win the game. And you could see the look. I remember watching the game on the Ohio State quarterback's eyes. It was like, we're not losing. Of course, the way Pastor Philip preaches, you're not going to lose to no Sun Devils or any other devils. Amen. Because I guess you got a Buckeye in your pocket. I don't know. We got Jesus Christ with us. And the quarterback's eyes were eye to eye with the coach saying, I'm receiving your instruction. We're going to do this thing. And they locked in together and said, this is a game plan. Well, to make the long story short, he goes down in a matter of a few plays, scores a touchdown, wins the game, and Ohio State wins. Which, the only bad news is it was Ohio State. For you sport enthusiasts. But the quarterback refused to get into panic. He refused to get into fear. He refused to have a hopeless look in his eyes. He locked in on what the coach was saying and says, we're going to win this thing. And when we get under a challenge, when we get under pressure, we've got to be willing to look in the Word of God, eye to eye with God, and say, God, according to your Word, I'm receiving your instruction, and I got this thing. And say, let's get it on, devil. Now, I'm not talking about challenging the devil to a fight. I'm talking about he's bringing the attack against you, and you're saying, I'm not bowing down to it, and I'm not giving way to it. I refuse to back up. I'm going forward, and I'm taking ground. And that will have a look in your eyes. I can see it when I say simple statements. Let me try it right now. Y'all look at me, and I'm going to make a statement. 2014 is going to be the best year we've ever known. Now, y'all pass the test. I can see good looks. But some of the looks could have been like rolling your eyes, like I've heard that before. Ain't no faith. There's no faith connection there. Or, you know, well, I got to be better than this year. There's no expectation. Or just a look of like, okay, there's no desire. But when I say this is the best year ever, and I believe it is going to be our best year ever, and maybe you've been through some challenges in past years. I know I have. I like Kathy's expression, what she did a while ago. She's just, yes, I could see it in her eyes. She's grabbing a hold of it. And you go, yeah, your eyes narrow down. You go, yes. Why do your eyes have to narrow down like that? Do you guys know what I mean when I say your eyes focus in? Because you're defocusing off the natural and you're looking into another realm at provision you can't access through human ability. You're going, yes. Because you're not even looking at what you're seeing right then. You're looking in your mind's eye. You're looking at what God has said. You're looking at, you know, overcoming impossible situations. And that has got to be the look we carry wherever we go. To develop and carry the look of faith. And you ought to be able to look in the mirror and make statements and see your own expression. For example, you look in the mirror and you go, by stripes I was healed. No. No, it's got to be offensive oriented. By his stripes I was healed. Do you see the difference? In other words, I'm about to warp somebody's head in the realm of the spirit. I got this thing. And I refuse to back off of it. He supplies all my need according to riches and glory, but he supplies all my need. Make my day, devil. You're asking yourself right now, devil, did you fire 5 shots or did you fire 6 shots? Make my day. Dirty Harry. This is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun known to man. Not anymore. Now they make that 50 caliber right in the 410 version as well. Try looking at them in the mirror when you get home and making statements of promises we should have a hold of. And see what expression comes back at you. You and all your house shall be saved. You don't know my family. Versus me and my house shall be saved. See, we're running a race. But the race isn't against each other. It's against darkness. And some of you may have been runners in the past. Patty was a runner. And so, sometime back, if I'd have said, Patty, you're going to race a 5-year-old. And I need you to win this race. I'll let you say something maybe is a little better run than that. And she'd be looking at me like, I got this. I can beat the 5-year-old or the 10-year-old or the 15. Are you following me? She been going, go, yeah.
Probably not anymore.
That's why I said way back, sometime back. And you got to be willing to run against the devil with a confidence you're going to win. Versus walk around with a defeated look in your face all the time. Christians should not be walking around like this. Oh, woe is me. Oh, geez. Oh, the devil. All that. There's no faith in that look. You should be going through your entire day looking for opportunities to carry the power of God, to release that power. Looking for opportunities to confront darkness. Looking for opportunities to prove the faithfulness of the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about trying to make a battle. I'm talking about not putting up with any interference with the walk God has in your life. Let's go back to this verse again. Verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. The man heard Paul. Now, he was crippled. He lived all of his life since the womb without the ability to walk, being subject to that crippling affliction. But when he heard the word of God that Paul was speaking, something happened inside of him. And it says, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul was looking at him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Something shifted as Paul preached in this man's countenance. It wasn't that Paul all of a sudden developed some supernatural vision that he could see inside the man's heart and see faith. Now, I believe there was a discerning involved that he could see faith, faith active in the man's thinking. But this whole man's countenance changed under that influence of that word. He's probably there at beginning, I get this all the time. People come here for the first time, are newcomers, and I'll start ministering the word, and they're going like, I don't know about all that. In fact, they'll be their eyebrows will be raised and they'll be going like, no, not this can't. Until you keep going to the Word, and finally their head starts nodding the other direction. And if the Holy Ghost gets involved and you're talking about a promise of God, and they really start to get a hold of it, all of a sudden they'll be going like, yeah, I got this. Now, many times that transition look takes some time. One of my favorites, I hope she didn't mind me preaching about her, but was Jana Strunk. God told her husband, Tim, to come to church here. That I had a word for him. And I said, you need to come to church. God's going to teach you some things. And they started coming. Lifelong Baptists. And they started coming. And, of course, Jana was drugging somewhat. But she's being a, a submitted wife. And I'm starting to preach about the righteousness of God, and I'm preaching about speaking in tongues and about miracle power. And she'd be back there like, no, oh, no, no. It'd be like, no, no, no. And I could feel her resistance all the way through the service. It was like, I don't think so, but I keep going to the Word. And she'd come back the next week, no, 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 no. Until over time, all of a sudden, she started going like this. And I saw all of a sudden she was starting to receive it. And then all of a sudden, she starts going like this on the edge of her seat. Like, what's he going to say next? Then she got where she was taking on messages and re-preaching them to her homeschool group. And even improving on them. And now she is the most hungry person that comes to services usually. I mean, she's on every word I'm speaking. And getting a hold of it. And her whole look has shifted. Something happens in your countenance when you get a hold of a promise of God and you really manifest faith in it. And when it does, when you get that look, watch out, devil. Because now there's a confident expectation in you to overcome every situation he's going to throw across your path. And Paul saw the shift in this man's eyes, in his countenance. Probably by the Spirit of God, but he saw the shift, the look of faith a man developed as he heard the word that Paul was preaching. My desire is every time I minister the word, I look out there and I see your eyes grabbing a hold of the word and getting a hold of faith for that promise. Verses like, a hungry Christian, one that wants to overcome, can't wait to get more word. Can't wait to develop more faith. Can't wait to overcome at a higher level. Amen. Now, with that in mind, turn to let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four people carrying this guy. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus," listen to this, verse 5, "when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, I'm not going to take time to teach you this entire story, but how many know he got healed? But Jesus, it says, saw their faith. Now, first of all, he probably saw they were tearing a hole through the roof and know that represented they had some level of faith. It wasn't their house, and they're willing to do whatever to destroy somebody's house to get to Jesus on behalf of their friend. That would be evidence you believe God's going to do something. But I believe even as they came through the roof, they saw faith in their eyes. I believe when it came through their life, there was like a relief. We're here. And there was an expectation. Jesus, I know you're going to do this. And he saw their faith. And of all the multitudes, this man was called out, forgiven, and healed. Amen. The look of faith draws God's attention. Can we go on? Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. "And they came nigh to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now he sat on the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't stop. Now the naysayers, or those who are concerned about order in the service, that are concerned about not making a ruckus, are telling him, you need to be quiet. But he was determined to press through and kept crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. His actions of faith brought the Lord to a standstill. Changed the direction he was going. And he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now the garment he carried was the garment that was carried by blind people, that represented he was blind and in need of welfare type assistance. But when he heard Jesus call for him, he threw aside that garment. I don't believe it means he was naked. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Faith, the faith look, doesn't always have to be expressed through your eyes. Many times it's expressed through your actions. Are you really in faith? And this man knew if he could get to Jesus, he was going to be healed. And when he found that he had an open door for that, his blind garment is thrown away because he's not going to need that anymore. And Jesus recognized it. He didn't say, oh, I'm having mercy on you. Here, receive your sight. He says, your faith has got a hold of it. That means Jesus had to have been able to recognize the faith on the man. Now, I don't know if Jesus saw him throw the garment away or not. Amen. I don't know if he's aware that he kept crying out after him. I think he did. I think he heard it. But he picked up something that recognized faith in operation. Now, it could be, I believe Jesus was very wealthy. Amen. Jesus was not a poor man, you know, clothed in burlap bags. He had a very expensive garment. He carried an entourage. We know at least, you know, at times over 70 people in their families that were his ministry was funding. They didn't have money in the bag that Judas could steal some and nobody noticed there was a shortage. They brought him extreme wealth at his birth. The covenant God had said that declared that those who would serve God would be wealthy. He was a wealthy man. So it could be under normal circumstances, as it would be in many times, in many places and times today, is that the poor man says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He just wants a donation. He knows he's wealthy. Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm begging over here. Bring me something or you follow me. But when he found out there was an open door, he got up, threw his garment aside. But when he comes to Jesus, Jesus says, what do you want? Because it could have been he might have just said, I just need some extra money, pay my rent, to buy me a new blanket, and to eat today. And Jesus might have turned to Judas and said, give him $20. But when he said that I might receive my sight, and even though he was blind, there was a look connected to it. Jesus said, a faith connection is being made. You're about to see. Do you follow me? Faith has a look. And I want that look in every regarding every promise of God. I want that look throughout every day I walk. I want there to be a confidence in the Word of God and God's backing of my life to know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. This last thing we had with the new lease being established. I can tell I've come some distance with God. Because there was a time if they just said, your rent's going up 4.5 times, I'd have been, oh, Jesus. This time I said, God's got it. Whether we're here or not, God's got it. Wasn't concerned about it. Wasn't going to have a meltdown over it. God's got this thing.
Yeah.
And what happens? We're going to watch God take care of it. And so, I could look in the mirror. Didn't have to, but I could look in the mirror and said, God's got this. And had the look. Because there's a faith connection made in God's provision and care for this church. No matter what arises in your life, you should be able to look in the mirror and see faith looking back at you. Because there's not a circumstance you'll go through that there's not a promise that guarantees you, if you'll activate the power of the Word, that guarantees you victory. Amen. You don't have to look in the mirror to know what your expression is many times. Just reflect on how you're thinking, and you'll know what your face is displaying. And if it's not displaying confidence in the Word of God and confidence in God's provision, then it could be you have a mental ascension or mental picture potential of what God said He would do, but not a faith connection to it. Because when a faith connection is made, your attitude is, give me the ball. I'll score the 3. Or I'll run for the touchdown. Amen. I'll kick my foot over my head, whatever it might be. Matthew chapter 8. Are you still with me? Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Amen. And we know the man's servant was healed when Jesus said, go. Now, I don't have time to go in depth into this. The other account of this in the Gospels really reflects that the centurion didn't come himself, he sent his servant. If you're aware of that or not. There are two accounts of this, and in the other account, it says he sent his servant, and the servant told him, I'm not worthy you should come into my house. Now in Matthew, it says the centurion came because the servant represented the centurion. But just in the word that Jesus gave, just in the word that the centurion gave his servant, Jesus saw faith in it. He saw faith in the statement that was being made that you don't even have to come to my house, just speak the word only and he'll be healed. Now that's faith. Because most people would have came personally, fell at Jesus' feet and said, please, please, please come. He had such confidence in the power of God on Jesus' life that he said, you just speak it and it'll happen. And Jesus said, I've not seen, I've not witnessed so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. This man wasn't even a Jew. Amen. He's a Roman centurion. And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this in Israel. It's amazing how much of religious Christianity rejects the faith message. And many times you'll see more expectation of victory in a person's faith that doesn't even know the Lord versus those that religiously know Him and doesn't believe He does anything for them. People that are just confident in their own abilities, are confident that things will work out, many times will have a better countenance or expression than those that are in church. This shouldn't be. We should have the look. We should be the one people are pointing to and says, there is something different about them. Look at their countenance. Look at the way they look, their expression. There's something different about them. Amen? It's amazing how much time people will spend in front of a mirror. Now, some may need it. Amen? I don't spend much time in front of the mirror. Amen? Yeah, you look good. Good. Hair will be like this. Ring. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Praise God. I actually have 30 hours a month of time available to me that Patty doesn't have. Because it takes her 1 hour more time to get ready than it does me. It's right at 1 hour. For me, no matter how dirty I am, from start to finish, it's half an hour max. If I've got things laid out and I've already shaved, you know, and maybe the contact's already in, 10 minutes. Patty is a flat hour and a half every morning. Getting ready, hour and a half, just set it by the time clock. You don't know what she looks like before she gets all done up. Whew. Just teasing. I've told her all of her married life, I can't even tell if you've got makeup on. You look the same to me. Amen. And I tell her when her hair looks all frizzy, I said, it's sexy. TMI, right? TMI. I didn't go to pastor school. I don't know the rules. Y'all have to forgive me. And if Pastor Callen covered that in his teaching, I slept through that part. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, people will spend hours in front of a mirror. You know, the new fad now were the selfies. Taking your own picture, taking your picture in the mirror, posting it on Facebook, you know. And somebody every other day changes their profile picture. New selfie. I photoshopped a picture from 10 years ago. That's been my selfie for years. Amen. Clipped one out with Patty. There it is. I'm good. Although I do need to put a new one on with some facial hair. Amen. Anyway, we will spend hours studying our face in a mirror. Many people will. We're. And never get the revelation or realization, I need to study my faith, look in the mirror. I need to look at myself and determine, am I really in faith? Am I an expectation for God to move in my life? Do I have that look that exhibits confidence in the Word of God? Or is my look going out of the house today express, I hope I make it through this one? Is it hopelessness, despair, oppression, anxiety, fear? Or downright just being overly tired? Or are you going out of the door of the house with, I've got this day, and I'm gonna magnify God and max out the opportunities this day, and no weapon formed against me is going to have any effect on me? What's your look going out of the house every morning or every night? Amen? Is it devil? I'm about to whoop up on your head, and there's nothing you can do about it. Or are you walking out with a deer in the headlights type look? Is like, I hope the devil didn't pick on me today. You get the look, he's going to try to hunt you down, but he'll be afraid of. If the devil were Chuck Norris, he'd still be afraid of a Holy Ghost Christian. Fortunately, Chuck Norris is born again Christian. Are you ready for some more? Matthew chapter 9. I better move on from that one. Chuck Norris can blow bubbles with peanut butter. Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to verse number 18. Well, wait a minute. I really ought to go. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 with this one. I'd rather do this one in Mark. Same story. Mark chapter 5. And when Jesus, verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one, or cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may live, or that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. This man came to Jesus wanting prayer for his daughter. And Jesus went with him. Do you know that would produce relief in his countenance just right there? But something happened to interrupt their trip. It says, And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. They were pressing on him. In fact, this word means to crush like a grape. They were crushing on him. Multitudes. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, let me pause right there for just a minute. If you look at the actual Greek verbiage in this, when it says, when she said in herself, but I can touch his clothes, I shall be healed, the actual verb tense represents continuous speaking. She didn't say it one time, she kept saying it. She was speaking to herself, producing an expectation for healing. If I can just but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. If I can just but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. Now understand, he's being thronged by multitudes, but this woman's coming up with the faith look. She's coming up with the faith expectation. Not only that, this is an unclean woman. She's not even supposed to be in contact with other people. And yet, because she's got this issue of blood, but she's pressing through the crowd, oblivious or not oblivious, but ignoring that she could possibly be stoned for this. She's unclean. And it says, verse 29, And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? Jesus felt faith withdrawal out of his virtue. Somebody got a hold of the anointing by faith. Not by Jesus praying for them, but just by faith made a connection with Jesus and power was transferred to heal her. Because she was the one speaking the promise. If I can but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitudes thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Oh, I need to. Let me hold this spot, look at something real quick. Let me go back to Matthew, because that's probably why I had that one picked. Matthew 9. Yeah, go to Matthew chapter 9 now. We'll pick up the story now in Matthew. Verse number 22, she's been healed, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, she didn't volunteer it, he saw her. Amen. He said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. What did he see? What was it? I mean, we're talking about potentially thousands of people around him. You know, a smaller group that able to touch him. But he saw her. What did he see? He saw somebody in faith. Everybody else got a puzzled look. She's got a look of, I got this thing. And she got it. Now, we're running out of time. And potentially we will do a part two on this next Sunday night. But I want you to know, as you get a hold of the Word and faith is developed, it should change the way you look. It should change your expression when somebody says something to you. It should change your expression whenever there's a circumstance that arises contrary in your life. Faith should change your, not just viewpoint, but the way people view you. I love it. I love it when I have a prayer line and I see faith. Now, I see it in here a lot. I see a bunch of you come up for prayer and you're in pain or got a circumstance and you come, I just want you to agree with me, Pastor Jack, and you'll have that look. You don't even realize it, but I know the look. Others will be like, you know, you said to come up, I'm up here, will you pray with me? And they don't have the look. Now we're dependent upon the gift. But when I see the look, I know I can lock in an agreement and I know God's going to do it. Versus be dependent whether the gift manifests. Work to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Work to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. How can you examine yourself? Consider the promises of God that should be active in your life. And then, how can I say, reflect on what your expression is when you think about that promise. Reflect on the challenges you're facing. And then look at your expression. Reflect on your expression. You don't even look in the mirror. You know what you look like. Reflect on your attitude toward that promise. And see if when you think about it, glory to God, I got this thing. And then if you don't have it, get in the Word until you get it. Get in the Word and confess the Word, meditate the Word until you have that look. Because when you have that look, no devil in hell has power to overcome you regarding the promises of God. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for a people getting hold of the look. I thank you for a people of faith. And we believe you, Lord God, to take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. I praise you. And I thank you that you're raising up warriors in the end time that refuse to lose to the devil. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing. If you need special prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise.